Welcome to St. Luke's Lutheran Church's weekly sermon podcast, where our mission is clear: to love, serve, and welcome all. By all, we mean the whole rainbow of God's people. Join us as we dive into the Word of God to discover how to be a disciple of Jesus, living our faith every day. Let's walk this journey of faith together.
The Holy Gospel according to John. Glory to you, O Lord. Now among those who went up to worship at the festival were some Greeks, and they came to Philip, who was from Bethsaida in Galilee, and said to him, "Sir, we wish to see Jesus." Philip went and told Andrew, and then Andrew and Philip went and told Jesus. And Jesus answered them, "The hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified. Very truly I tell you, unless a grain of wheat falls into the earth and dies, it remains just a single grain. But if it dies, it bears much fruit. Those who love their life lose it, and those who hate their life in this world will keep it for eternal life. Whoever serves me must follow me, and where I am, there will my servant be also. Whoever serves me, the Father will honor. Now my soul is troubled, and what should I say? Father, save me from this hour? No. It is for this reason that I have come to this hour. Father, glorify your name." Then a voice came from heaven, "I have glorified it, and I will glorify it again." The crowd standing there heard it and said that it was thunder. Others said, "An angel has spoken to him." Jesus answered, "This voice has come for your sake, not for mine. Now is the judgment of this world. Now the ruler of this world will be driven out. And I, when I am lifted up from the earth, will draw all people to myself." He said this to indicate the kind of death he was to die. This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
For our first-time guests, there is an insert in your bulletin that you can follow along with the sermon and take notes if you like, and there are discussion questions or reflection questions on the back for later, or for those of you who are in life groups to discuss with your life group or at your table or with friends or family later. About 30 years ago, Dan and I, my husband, we heard a sermon about this, the disciples always missing the point. They were looking to Jesus for direction and not understanding the answer. And the preacher talked about Jesus blessing the children while the disciples were pestering him, saying, "Come on, Jesus, what are you doing? You're playing with children, and we've got to get the kingdom rolling. So let's go, Jesus. We've got to get the kingdom rolling." 3 decades later, when Dan, who is also a pastor, and I are getting ready for work at the beginning of the day, one of us usually asks the other person, "So what's on your agenda for today?" And we will share, you know, our appointments, our visits, our meetings, or how we're trying to move the mission forward and what we have planned. And but sometimes, probably more frequently than I should admit, one of us will say, "I just got to get the kingdom rolling." And this is a humorous way of admitting, I hope what I think I'm supposed to be doing is what God wants me to be doing. I need to look at the big picture and make sure that what I'm doing is moving toward the vision that I think that God has for me, but I can't see the forest for the trees or for the big pile of papers on my desk. I'm listening for God, but I don't really hear him today. I'm looking for Jesus, but I don't see him clearly. I pray that I'm not missing the point. I know this sounds a little backwards for a pastor, but as much as I love Jesus, he does not plan worship. He does not write Holy Week bulletins. He does not make visits, and he does not make phone calls for me. He does not do any of these tasks. Did you know that? So it's easy to forget to ask, where is God in all of this doing? Because, you know, I got to get the kingdom rolling. And I got to get to this list of tasks. And so I wonder if this happens to you too. You may not say, I got to get the kingdom rolling. But maybe it's more like, I just got to get through this day. I've got to get through this list of things to do. Or my task list is a mile long, or it's as long as my arm. Or does all this stuff I do really matter to anyone? To God? You may be listening to God, but you don't hear him today. You may be looking for Jesus, but you may want to see him, but he's not really coming in clearly. You may have too much to do to remember to think about what is God's plan for you. You want direction, and you pray that you are not missing the point of faith in Jesus and following him, but many days it feels a bit muddy. You spend so much of your lives and your days striving, you know, striving to finish school and accomplish what you're supposed to at work and striving to provide for your family, stretching to meet everybody else's needs, reaching to help others when you can, trying to do the right thing. And even if you're retired, some of you are the most busiest people that I know. So where is God in all of this? You know, you want to see Jesus, but where is he exactly? In our gospel reading from John, believers like us want to see Jesus. That's what they're asking for. They want to know where God is in all of this and in their life and in the world and if anything that they do matters. And Philip and Andrew bring them to see Jesus, and they not only see him, they get so much more, and so do we. Now, Jesus says a lot here, and we're going to get to some of that, but to their question of, is God present in their life, and does anything they do matter, the short answer in this whole long wordy passage is, yes, 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 everything you do matters. God's love is in everything, and in every bit of creation, even a grain of wheat, and even in you. God's love is so deep, so wide, so high, so immense, so vast, says Jesus, that when I complete this whole human experience, including dying, including revealing God's power by rising to new life, and then when I am lifted up to heaven, every single person on the earth will be drawn to me and saved in love. And then a voice comes from heaven to affirm that all of this is true. To those wanting to see him, Jesus says, well, you're not just going to see me. Boy, have I got a deal for you. You are going to have an eternal relationship of love with me and with the God who sent me, whose voice you just heard coming from heaven. And in this relationship, I will fill you with my eternal life and my forever love. Awesome. Isn't that awesome? I mean, wow. They thought they were going, now I'd like to see Jesus. Well, woo, look at what you got. What an answer to a simple request. The Apostle Paul in our Ephesians text makes it very clear about what Jesus did for us. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not your own doing. This is not your own doing. It is the gift of God, not the result of works, so that no one may boast. So, the question is, what does this mean for us about how we order our days? Because it's not to earn the love, right? That's what Paul just said. We're not working for it. How do we know and trust then that God is with us in these daily to-do lists and to help us know that all the life demands of us really matters? Well, there are two simple daily practices that I invite you to try this week just to shift your awareness toward the constant presence of God in this relationship of Jesus Christ that I just described that John is really talking about in this passage that Jesus is giving to us. So the first one is an affirmation, a simple affirmation. And I'm going to explain this first, and then I'll tell you the affirmation. In verse 26 of our passage, Jesus says, "Whoever serves me must follow me. Where I am, there will my servant be also." Now, when we hear, "Where I am, there will my servant be also," we think, well, we have to be on a mission trip. We got to go to Africa. It's time to go to Haiti. We have to be somewhere out there to follow Jesus, right? Isn't that the first thing that pops into your head? So we have this notion that Jesus is out there with those people, those faithful people somewhere else, and that God is in that ministry over there where I'm not. And yes, in nature, in the mountaintop, on the beach, at the lake, somewhere else. And well, yes, of course, Jesus is with everyone. And God is everywhere, but today we're talking about you, and you're here, living your life, okay? So when Jesus was lifted up in resurrection, he drew you in your life to himself. And in baptism, God filled you with the risen presence of Christ, making you in your life a Christ bearer. Where I am, there will be my servant also. Maybe we just need to reverse the sentence to really get it. Where my servant will be, there I am. God's identity at the burning bush with Moses is, "I am who I am." Jesus carries this "I am" identity. Where my servant will be, there I am. The I am presence of God is in you, in Jesus Christ, given to you as a gift of eternal life in the resurrection, given to you in baptism. How easy it is to forget that we, each one of us, is the temple of the Holy Spirit. 1 Corinthians 6:19. That God and Jesus Christ is as much in here, point to yourself, in here, say in here, right here, as much as God is out there. One of my spiritual teachers recently taught me that we actually have three hearts. We know this intuitively, but when she said this to me, it was like a big aha. We have our physical heart, which keeps our physical body alive. We have our energetic heart, which enables us to have love and compassion in all of our relationships. And we usually feel love and compassion in our chest area, which Eastern traditions call the heart chakra. Are you with me so far? Right? Two hearts. We have a third heart, which is our sacred heart, the heart of Christ, the I am presence of God within us. Now, of course, we can connect with the presence of God, the I am presence of God, the sacred heart of Christ within us through prayer and meditation. But sometimes it helps to have a more concrete way. And so my spiritual mentor taught me that we can connect to the sacred presence of God within us physically. And it's right here at the base of our neck. And there's a little hollow right here, and I want you to put your finger there. There's a little hollow at the base of your neck in between those two little bones right there. So I encourage you in the morning or any time during the day when you are feeling disconnected or harried or overwhelmed, or you just want to feel centered or grounded in faith, to just touch this hollow at the base of your neck, which is at the top of your heart chakra, or your energy of heart love, and near your physical heart, and touch this hollow and say an affirmation. And I want you to, you can pick one of these affirmations, whichever feels true to your experience, and repeat after me, and then you can pick one. Christ is in me, and I am in Christ. Christ is in me, and I am in Christ. You can also say, God is in me, and I am in God. God is in me, and I am in God. You can also say, love lives in me and I live in love. Love lives in me and I live in love. Pick one of these affirmations. Sometimes I just put my fingers here and I take a deep breath. The Spirit prays for us in sighs too deep for words. Romans 8:26. Do a daily affirmation. Connect with the presence of Christ within the I Am presence. The next practice is asking a question. And I'll explain it, and then I'll give you the question. Jesus uses the image of a grain of wheat in verse 24. Unless a grain of wheat falls to the ground and dies, it remains just a single grain. But if it dies, it bears much fruit. So unless you're a farmer, you may not really think about how this really works. Well, a grain of wheat that falls to the ground can grow a plant, just one grain, that produces 110 grains. Plant those 110 grains, and you produce 12,000 grains. By the third harvest of replanted seeds, you're up to 1.3 million grains from one grain. Okay, so we're talking about exponential growth. So if you have a whole field of grains, you're talking about countless billions upon billions of grains of wheat. Okay, so you're talking about enough bread for the world. So we're talking about exponential. So Jesus, as the seed of God's love, produces enough when he falls to the ground and dies and rises again, produces enough eternal life to fill the whole universe. That's enough love to fill the universe and draws all of us to himself. So, to do this in his earthly life, Jesus loved his way through the full human experience. It's rooted in love because the exponential energy of the kingdom is love, right? So wheat is the metaphor, but the grain of the kingdom is love. So Jesus loved his way through being a human being. And that's the meaning of the term son of man or son of humanity. He lived a full human experience. So that means he embraced being fully human. Family, grief, friendship, service, teaching, betrayal, physical suffering. He did it all by experiencing greater and greater love. He loved people by asking what they wanted before he healed them. He invited people to join him. He never forced them. He gave people freedom. He let them walk away if they were not ready for his kind of love. He crossed every boundary of class, race, religion, culture, gender, and politics to demonstrate God's way of love. And like a seed that must crack open in order to release new growth, Jesus, the Son of Humanity, fully entered all of these experiences and allowed them to crack open his heart to greater love so that he could go all the way through to the cross to bear the fruit of eternal life for us. The pathway is love, greater and greater love. Sometimes we think that we should be doing something else with our life to experience God or to see Jesus. And if you were struggling with that question, then I would love to have that conversation with you. So let's talk. But sometimes the truth is that we are already where we are supposed to be. And Jesus invites us to let our daily life as it is crack us open to greater love. Your to-do list is not causing you to miss the point or to miss God. It is the point. It is the point. Your life is where God is. Your life is where God is. Your daily life is the place where God is working. In the daily to-dos, in your relationships, in your parenting and in your grandparenting, in your challenges, in your work or your school, in your frustrations, in your joys, in your tears. That's why everything you do matters. Experiencing it fully and with love, loving your way through it as Jesus did. Remember, where my servant is, there I am. So I invite you to ask yourself one question. How might I love my way through this experience, this task, this day? Including love of God, love of others, love of self. I'm not talking about doormat or codependence. I'm talking about how do you fully experience love through these tasks? Or how is this experience, this day, this task, cracking me open to greater love? You don't have to go out there. You don't have to go on a mission trip. You can just ask the question of your day. You see what I'm saying? That's what Jesus did. He experienced the human life, and it cracked him open to greater love. Greater love that enabled him to endure the cross. This is a dying to self question, because you are not asking, how can I make this the best day for me? It's all about me. How can this open me to greater love? Greater love of self, greater love of others, greater love of God. It may surprise you how much you start expressing Jesus' love, how often you start seeing and experiencing God. You may be the giver, you may be the receiver. I don't know. It's an adventure. That's what I love about being a person of faith, because every day is an adventure of love. I talked with somebody recently who helped buy lunch for a homeless man at a fast food restaurant. They weren't sure that they had the money, but love compelled them. A few days later, they received an unexpected blessing that they needed, that they weren't expecting, but God just showed up in another way and gave them what they needed. Someone else was in a bind and received some help with some lodging. A new property volunteer came yesterday and put the bookshelf together so we could set up our family area in the entryway, and then he went over to the preschool and installed the new water fountain. Marvelous! Yeah, amen, right? That was wonderful. This week we had three volunteers, two brand new volunteers planted all the plants around the digital sign. You just don't know where love is going to come from, and it's wonderful, right? Say amen to all this. This is great stuff. So what I'm telling you is that your daily life matters, and when you plant seeds of love, that grows exponentially in the kingdom, because then that person passes on that love, and it is exponential growth. 12,000 seeds to a billion seeds. That's how the kingdom grows. And when all of us are doing this in our daily lives, we are helping Jesus grow the kingdom exponentially. Your life matters. Your to-do list matters. The I Am presence is in you. The light of Christ is in you. How is Jesus active in your daily life and opening you up to greater and greater love? Let's expand the kingdom exponentially. What do you say, St. Luke's? Amen.
Go forth into the world to serve God with gladness. Be of good courage. Hold fast to what is good. Render to no one evil for evil. Strengthen the faint-hearted. Support the weak. Help the afflicted. Honor all people. And rejoice in the power of the Holy Spirit as you love, serve, and welcome all.
Thanks be to God, and we will.
If you're inspired by this week's message and want to learn more about our mission to love, serve, and welcome all, we invite you to join us every Sunday at 10 a.m. We're located at 1210 West Beltline Road in Richardson, Texas. For more information, visit our website at stlukeslutherantx.org. Connect with us on Facebook at stlukeslc or on Instagram at stlukeslutherantx. Thanks again for joining us today, and we look forward to welcoming you into our community.